Good morning. That Marshall's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve, doesn't he? He's a comedian. What a beautiful medley for us today. Well, we're continuing our series today entitled Different, based on the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to begin today by reading Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Sixth book in the New Testament. It's kind of easy to find. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, today is a family Sunday, and I want to invite the elementary age children to join me here up in the front. You can come and sit on the steps or maybe sit down here on the floor if you'd like in front of me. If you're an adult and you want to come too, that's fine. Some of you want to come sit over here, that's fine, so I can see you. Or if you want to be able to be seen by the crowd, I understand. How is everybody today? Okay, good. Did you guys hear that weather last night? Did that keep anybody up last night?
Yeah. My power went out.
Power went out, yeah. It's a good thing that we all got up this morning, wasn't it? We were able to make it here to church. Well, it's good to have you here today. And today in our sermon, we're going to be talking about treasure. And I want you just to think for a moment. What is something that you treasure? What is a treasure? Something that's a treasure to you? Okay, and you can be real specific if something comes to mind. So something valuable, what, Max?
Gold.
What?
Gold.
Gold. You have a lot of that sitting around, Max? A young investor here. Precious metals, Max, way to go. Good thinking for the future. Okay, what else is valuable? Something that's like a treasure to you. Anybody else have a treasure? Something that is like a treasure to you? Do you have another one, Max? Silver, maybe? What's that?
Money.
Okay. Very shrewd up here. Okay. Well, I thought I would share with you guys. Hi, Sadie. Come on, join us up here. I thought I would share with you guys just a few of my treasures. I've got two different containers up here. Both of the containers have treasure. And if you guys on the ends, if you want to maybe come up here in the front so you can see, you know, where I could see you, it might be a little bit easier. Okay, so this first container has some treasures. These are things that mean a lot to me, that are very important to me. here's a baseball. Anybody like baseball? Very good. Wow. Well, this is very special to me. It's something my dad gave me, and it has got Cal Ripken's autograph on it. You know Cal? Anybody know Cal Ripken? I mean, he was back in the day. He's a little bit older now, but great baseball player for the Baltimore Orioles. And so, that's a special treasure. this is probably the biggest one here, and this is a basketball. It's something I love to talk about. I keep it in my office, but when I was a senior in high school, I was on a state championship basketball team in Maryland. I was the starting center. Thank you very much, by the way. I have videos. Anybody wants to see the video, by the way. And I was fortunate. I ended up with one of the basketballs from the state championship. And so I've got the name of all my teammates on this ball. And so that means a lot to me. I was a little quicker back then, anyway. This is something that means a lot to me. It's kind of cool. This is a badge, and it belonged to my grandfather. He was a voluntary deputy for the police department. What's that? It's a cop badge, right. And it was my grandfather's, and I don't know, it's just something kind of cool about it. His name is on that, and it was passed down to me. One more thing in this particular container, and it wouldn't mean anything to anybody, but it means a lot to me. It's this kind of cool triangle. And when I was your age, when I was very young, this was in my dad's office. And once in a while, I could go to his office with him in Baltimore. And I remember playing with this when I was very young. And eventually, when he retired, I got to pick out a few things that had been in his office. And this was there. This is about 40 years old. It's kind of cool looking. And it makes me think about my dad. Yeah.
We used to have something like that. It's got a horse in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, inside of it.
Okay, very good. You had a snow globe? Oh, wow. Now, the things that I showed you, hey guys, the things that I showed you, well, she can go if she needs to. Go ahead. The things that I showed you are important to me. They're very valuable. But you know what? They won't last forever. I can't take them to heaven with me. Let me show you some other treasures in a different box here, okay? And I want you to think for a minute about what these might mean. What might they mean? Okay. What is this? It's a Bible. It was my first preaching Bible. My wife Tracy gave this to me. I used it for many years. I can't read it anymore because the print's too small. But what does the Bible stand for?
God.
Stands for God. That's right. Very good. So that's an important treasure. I've got this fish in my office. This was a gift. Why might I have a fish in my office here at the church? Anybody know? There's a passage in the Bible that talks about fish, maybe. Jackson, do you know? Well, there's quite a few fish passages. That's Jonah. Sadie, yeah. I like fish. I can't fish very well. But Jesus said that Jesus said that we should be fishers of people. As Christians, we should be fishers of people. We should share God's love with people. And so that's what that fish reminds me of. Who's that? Does anybody know? Abby, who is that? Yeah, my family, that's right. And this is, you think about what this might mean, love of family. Think about your family. And I got one more thing here in this extra box. It's a picture from a couple years ago. Anybody recognize any of those people? It's the church. You're in this picture. Are you in that picture, Riley? This was the night that we went caroling a couple years ago. And it makes me think about the church family. Yeah. Now, these things are different. This is a different box of treasure. Jesus says, do you know? Jesus says that we can store up treasure in heaven, that there are some things that will last forever. There are some things that are eternal. And in this box are things that will last forever, that we can maybe store up and we can have in heaven. You think about that. The Bible represents our relationship with God, our love of God. Picture of the family represents our love for our family. The fish reminds us of our faith in Jesus and our need to share that faith with others. The picture of the church family reminds us that our love for one another is eternal and how we serve one another. That can matter even in heaven. And so Jesus says we can store up things in heaven, the things that really matter in life. Love for God, faith in Jesus, sharing our faith with others, showing love to other people, and serving other people. When we do those things, we store up treasure in heaven. All right, guys, thank you very much. Thanks for joining me here on the stage today. You can go back to your seats. Suppose I would offer you $1,000 today. Suppose I would offer you $1,000 today, and you could spend it any way you wanted to. Would anybody be interested in that? Let me see a show of hands. Gosh, you guys are really desperate here today, aren't you? But suppose I gave you a choice. You could either have that $1,000 today, or you can have $10 million 1 year from now, and then $10 million every year after that. Would you be interested then? Let me see a show of hands. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. No, just kidding. You know, only a foolish, short-sighted person would take that first deal, would take that $1,000. But that's exactly what we do when we place all of our hope and our confidence and our trust in earthly treasures, which Jesus says are here today, but they're gone tomorrow. In contrast, Jesus encourages us to spend our lives here on earth investing in and storing up treasures in heaven, things that will last for eternity. So I wonder, what are you storing up today? Reflecting on the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, author Randy Alcorn presents an investment concept called the treasure principle, the treasure principle. And this principle should be on our hearts as we make financial decisions this holiday season. And believe it or not, we're almost there. There were Christmas movies on Hallmark last night. Kevin, you watched some, I'm sure. Christmas season is here. This principle should be on the forefront of our minds as we make deposits, as we swipe our credit cards, as we invest in things each day of our earthly lives. So what is the treasure principle? It is simply this. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Let's take a couple minutes and think about both parts of the treasure principle. First part of the principle is this, you can't take it with you. Jesus warned in Matthew 6:19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus cautions us about putting our hope in earthly treasures because they're temporary. They decay. They can get infested, corrupted, stolen. In short, they don't last. It seems like every other television commercial has to do with technology these days, the latest cutting-edge technology. But what is cutting-edge technology today is obsolete 5 years from now. In some cases, 1 year from now. How many of you are still using a beeper or a fax machine or a BlackBerry, an iPod, or a VHS? I bet there's kids here today that don't even know what a VHS is. I don't know about you. I remember when we got our first VCR as a family, and it was the biggest deal. I mean, we spent $300, I remember, on that VCR. It was like, it was just a great day. But novelty wears off. What is new becomes old. The possession that we cherish today is thrown out tomorrow. Wasn't that long ago that there were some church kids that were making fun of me because of my iPhone 5, you know? But it's a classic. And when they start paying the bill, I'll listen to what they have to say. Money is especially fleeting. It can be here today, but it can be gone in an instant. When a business deal goes bad, a natural disaster occurs, the stock market drops, a fire takes everything, or you have teenagers in the home, as some of you can appreciate. There's a comedian that said that money talks, but what it says mostly to me is goodbye. And maybe you can relate to that. Most significantly, our earthly treasures don't last for eternity. We can't take them with us. Every worldly treasure is left behind and passed on to someone else. Consider the sober lesson of Ecclesiastes 5:15. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. You know, when somebody famous and wealthy passes away, we think, well, how much did they leave behind? And the Bible would say, all of it is left behind. The author Mitch Albom tells about visiting his rabbi named Reb in the hospital. And he says they were at the hospital, and suddenly out in the hall, there was a scream, and then followed by a shh, presumably by the mother. And the Reb heard it too. Now that child, he said, reminds us that something that our sages have taught us in the past. When a baby comes into the world, its hands are clenched like this. Why? Because a baby, not knowing any better, wants to grab everything and just say, the whole world belongs to me. But when an old person dies, what happens? With his hands open. Why? Because he's learned the lesson. And what is the lesson? And he stretched out his hand, and we can take nothing with us. The Bible teaches that every one of us will have to give away our money and our material possessions. The only matter that we have control over is the timing. Will we voluntarily do it during this life, or will we be forced to be generous at death? And to wake us up from the spell of material things, Jesus offers two proverb-like teachings in Matthew 6, and we're going to look now at verses 22 through 24. Matthew 6, 22 through 24. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either they will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus explains that we may need to check our eyesight and our hearts. Jesus says money can affect the heart and the eyes. And when he says that what we see affects the heart, he's saying something, I think, about coveting and being greedy. A greed and a lust for things can corrupt and can cloud the soul, can cloud God's light, and not allowing us to see and think clearly. And Jesus cautions us here about the heart. We can't serve two masters. Money competes for our heart. It competes for our loyalty to God. Money and possessions are God's greatest rival. And only one can be the Lord of our life. And so this morning Jesus asks, who owns you? Who is the Lord? Who or what controls your life? And we may be quick to answer, well, God is. God is Lord. But would our calendar and would our debit card statement agree? We should think of our lives like a dot and a line. Our lives have two phases, the dot and then the other, a line extending from the dot. And our present life on earth is, we can think of it like the dot. It begins, it ends, it's temporary, it doesn't last. But from that dot extends a line that goes on forever. And that line is eternity, and Christians will be with God in heaven. Presently, we are living in the dot. But the question is, what are we living for? The person who invests in earthly treasures lives for the dot, lives for the moment. But the person who invests in heavenly treasures lives for the line, their eternal lives. And so this leads us to the second part of the treasure principle. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can send it on ahead. Again, listen to Jesus' teaching from Matthew 6, 20 and 21. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moss and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what does it mean to send it ahead and to store up treasure in heaven? Well, Jesus doesn't spell it out for us, but I think there's a couple ways we can think about treasure in heaven. Anything that we can take with us beyond the grave, any investment that we make that will last and have an impact for eternity. So what are some of those eternal investments? And think back to what I talked with the children about this morning. Our love and worship of God is eternal. 1 Corinthians 13 says, for I know God in part, in heaven I will know God fully. Our relationship with Jesus is eternal. The Bible promises that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our faith in Christ is eternal. Our salvation in Jesus begins now, but it continues on, is incomplete, will be complete in eternity. Our love for one another is eternal. The Bible says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Our compassion and our willingness to serve the needy is eternal. Using party imagery, Jesus taught in Luke 14, he said, "But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Perhaps the greatest way to be rich toward God and to store up treasure in heaven is to love people. The greatest way to love people is to share God's love with them through word and through action. It's been said that the best way to invest your treasure in heaven is by investing it in the people who are going there. And this brings us to the investment on earth that can lead to an eternal dividend, and that's an investment in the local church. Everything that I talked about just a moment ago is impacted and accomplished through the ministry of the local church. The local church is God's primary way of advancing his kingdom on earth and preparing people for eternity. When you give to the church in a very real sense, you are investing in heaven. When you give your tithes and offerings to the church's general fund or to missions fund, think about some of the things that you're investing in. You're investing in the preaching and the teaching of God's truth, the truth that transform lives. It's the power that changes life. You're investing in weekly gatherings and fellowship, which encourage and inspire and offer hope. You're investing in the baptism and discipleship of Christians into the Great Commission. You're investing in educational programs which give our children a spiritual foundation and equip our students to follow Christ in an increasingly complex world. You invest in outreach ministries like Vacation Bible School, Operation Christmas Child, our daycare and our preschool ministries, Trunk or Treat, which is coming up this week, One Starry Night, which will be here soon. Those are just some examples. All of these things expose our friends and neighbors to the truth and to the love of God. You're investing in the gospel, literally, being shared all over the world through missions. And through missions, you're investing in things like feeding the hungry locally, educating future servants of God, and caring for children, both locally in Park County and in Africa. And I could go on about that, but the point is that when you give to RCC, you are investing in God's kingdom now and God's kingdom to come. You are storing up treasures in heaven. I want to just take just a couple of minutes and give just a brief family talk, if you will. You know, over the years, if we had some family business that we needed to talk about, we would do it around the table, and family members were invited. And I want to do that just for a second as I talk to you a little bit about our financial situation. If you're visiting with us today, this doesn't directly apply to you, but it's certainly relevant about our congregation. And you should know that we'll do this once or twice a year. I want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and I want to share just a little bit of information and stats concerning giving through September. One of the goals for this past year was to really work at fine-tuning and polishing our financial management and our budgeting process. And so we wanted the budget to reflect the kind of ministry we actually do here on the ground, and so it needed to be more than what we have budgeted in the past. So our budget this year currently was just under $400,000, a little bit more than what it had been in the past. And it's a trial year, and we're going to modify it in 2020. We'll kind of see where we land. On that note, just a word of thanks to our finance team who's done a great job helping us this year in this area. Our general fund income has been just over $313,000. That's through September. Through September, $313,000. That's giving at about 79% of the budget, and with 3 months left, that's pretty good. Our general fund expenses have been just over $274,000. And so we're actually spending at about 69% of the budget. So that's good as well. We try to be frugal. We try to be wise internally as we spend God's money. At the same time, we want to be faithful in ministry. And we want to act and do ministry, and we need the funds to do that. If you would like a copy of the most current financial statement, there's some copies in the office on the counter if you would like one. Let me say a word about missions, our missions fund giving. We have two major funds, general fund and missions. Our yearly budget for missions is just under $29,000, and so the weekly need is $550. We have 12 missions that we support here, all kinds of wonderful missionaries and institutions. And each month, we'll change. We have the missionary back here on the wall in the leading to the fellowship hall, and you can learn about our missions. You can look at that bulletin board each month. But that amount is a fixed amount. That is a pledged amount that we have committed to our missionaries that they are expecting. And so we don't have a lot of flexibility there. We want to meet that obligation. Through the third week of September, we were just under $1,300 below our budget in missions. That doesn't count a special gift that we received this past year given to missions. We received a special estate gift, which is a great way to impact the kingdom. I would encourage you to think about that. We had somebody from the past leave some money to missions. It was a great blessing. But if we're not meeting our current obligation, we're going to draw from that a gift, and that's not really the way we want to go about doing it. 6 out of the 9 months here, we've been below where we need to be in missions. We can do better than that. And that can simply be all of us giving a little bit more each week, and we can make up that difference. We would love to meet the missions goal through regular faithful giving and set aside that special gift to be used for special needs that come up. Every month, our missionaries have special things, projects, requests, and we haven't been able to do anything about it because, frankly, the money's been very tight. We would love to be able to bless them above and beyond what we've pledged to them. I encourage you just really quick to look at the back of the bulletin. You'll see this every week. It just gives you a quick glimpse of finances. Some weeks are real good. Some weeks are a little lean. You'll see the general fund giving, and then this past year, we changed this amount to the budgeted projected weekly need. That's a guesstimate, so to speak. We're actually spending less than that, but that budget estimate gives you a little bit of an idea of the kind of monies we would like to have to be able to do the kind of ministry we want to have, the kind of ministry we've planned to do. And so that's a flexible number, but it's more like a guide, a sense of direction for us. And then you see the missions and what that weekly need is there. And so I'd encourage you to pay attention to that and maybe allow that to be a source of prayer as you think about your own giving here. A couple other things. This past summer was pretty lean for giving. The fall's been much better. Thank you for that. We did receive a little bit of a windfall this fall that's really boosted our general fund. But honestly, we would like to be able to operate with just the weekly faithful giving from the congregation and not have to pray for and hope for special gifts to come in. When special gifts come in, we would love to be able to invest that in the future. And we are thinking about the future here. We're thinking about our future ministries, the kind of ministry we want to do here in Rockville and Park County, and what that means for our building. I mentioned a few weeks ago on Family Sunday that we were beginning a relationship with TW Church Building Solution, talking with them about potential ways that we can update, modernize our current facility. And so, you know, healthy finances is going to impact the things that we can do in the future, also a source for prayer. And I want to make a special announcement today about a new tool for giving. As of this week, we can now give online here at the Rockville Christian Church. Special thank you to Kevin Roach, our associate minister. It's been a project he's been working on. He made it happen for us. Also, a thank you to Rachel Porter for getting it onto our website. I'm going to show you real quick this slide. If you go to our website, there's on the top right hand, there's a tab, online giving. There's also a banner below on the opening page that you can click. And this is the screen that you're going to see. This is secure, and we're working with one of the best companies in the industry right now. And it is secure, and if you can kind of see that, you could also pull it up on your devices if you'd like. But I did it last night. It was a piece of cake. It took me just a few minutes, and it's going to be less than that now that my information is stored. And if I can do it, anybody else can do it, I'm sure. But you just put the amount that you'd like to give in, You indicate which fund that you want it to go in, the general fund or the mission fund. You do have to give separate gifts if you want to give to both. That's what I did last night. You can indicate if you want it to be a recurring gift. You can set it up and never have to think about it again. It'll just reoccur. You can put your credit card information, your bank information, or your Apple Pay information in. You scroll down a little bit more. You can also check a box that says you will cover the fees to give online. It's 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. And so you can either have that deducted from your gift or you can opt to pay for that. I know Kevin did a trial this past week, $5, and the fee was like 46 cents. And so thank you for your faithful giving, by the way, Kevin. Pay attention today, Kevin. So, and then you just click on, and then you get an email, which is your receipt. You'll also get a statement at the end of the year from your giving. And so, really, I think a positive development. Because of the company that we are working with, they also provide an app service. And so we are developing an app for the church, which will have key information that'll be a great way to communicate. There'll be a place for prayer needs. There'll be a place where we're going to do some devotional things on there. And you can also give through the app. And so we're excited about that. We are going to be putting a kiosk up in the church as well for those that just want to use it here when they come on Sunday morning. And so this is another way to give. If you have any questions about that, you can see us about that. Kevin's going to hang around the front today. If you might have a question about getting established with that, we'd be happy to get you set up with online giving. So how should we invest in heaven through the local church? Let me just give you a very quick summary from one verse in the Bible. In my mind, this is a great model for faithful giving. 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. That one verse, I think, gives us five lessons for biblical giving, and I'm going to give them to you here in 2 minutes. First, giving is an act of worship and discipleship. Giving is an act of worship and discipleship. Paul says on the first day. So his thought is when people are gathering together, they are giving. Now, in the modern world, we might give different times. The way we get paid, for example, might affect that. I've just talked to you about online giving. You might do that on a Tuesday night. That still counts, okay? We have to just get over the passing the plate guilt, okay? Some people may be doing it online, so that counts too. But the principle is, think of it as worship. It's a part of obedience to God. It's a very real way that we demonstrate that God, in fact, is the Lord of our life. And Paul would say it's a command, it's not a suggestion for a Christian or a church member. Number two, we should give on a regular basis. On the first day of every week, our giving should be consistent. And our hope is that the online tool will make that easier than ever for many of us. Number three, giving is the responsibility of everyone. Paul says, on the first day of every week, each one of you. Giving to the church is every member, every committed attender's responsibility. If you've been blessed by the church's ministry, then you should be giving back in some way. Now, certainly we give back with time. We give back through service. Those things are certainly valuable. But don't let that be an excuse not to give financially, because the biblical idea is that everybody contributes financially. And on that note, everybody's going to be giving differently. Here's a simple principle to remember. Generous giving is different for everyone, but every Christian is commanded to give generously. So ultimately, giving is between you and God. Number four, giving should be intentional. Giving should be intentional. Paul says, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. We should plan our giving. It shouldn't just be what happens to be in our wallet on that given day. It should be thoughtful. The Bible says that we should give to God our first fruits, which is our best, not our leftovers. And so to give God our first fruits requires thought. It requires intentionality. It requires planning. And then finally, giving should be proportional to our income. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. I think that means our giving should be both realistic and sacrificial. We shouldn't give too much. I did say that. We shouldn't give too much. We shouldn't give too little. At a minimum, our giving should make us mindful of our dependence on God. And so when we give with an attitude of worship, when we give regularly, personally, intentionally, and proportionally, then we are storing up treasures in heaven. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. A minister in Texas went to visit a member of a church, and the church member was a very wealthy oil man. And after dinner, the man took the preacher up onto the roof of his house, and he pointed to the north at huge fields of oil wells, and he said, "Pastor, that's all mine. 25 years ago, I came here penniless, and now I own everything as far as you can see in that direction." And then he turned to the east and he pointed to waving fields of grain. He said, "That's all mine too. I own everything that you can see in that direction." And then the business tycoon turned to the south and he pointed to huge herds of cattle. And he declared again, "It's all mine as well." Then he turned to the west to a lush forest and he said, "And boasted, 25 years ago, I was penniless. But I worked hard and saved, and now I own everything that you can see in any direction." And this shrewd businessman paused, expecting praise, but none came. Instead, the minister just kind of lovingly put his hand on his friend's shoulder, and he pointed upward. He said, "But what do you own in that direction?" And I think that's the question that Jesus asks each of us this morning. We can't take our wealth with us, but we can send it on ahead. Let's pray. God, we praise you today. We recognize that all things come from you. And so really, you are the owner of everything. And so we have to keep in mind that we don't really own anything. We are just stewards. We are borrowers. We are caretakers of what you have given. We don't give to you. We return to you to be used for your kingdom. Father, I pray that we would be faithful managers of your funds, that we would not just squander our possessions with things that are just temporary, but Lord, that we would invest them in things that will matter 5 years, 500 years, 5 million years from now. Father, help us to use our resources with your kingdom in mind. And Father, I pray that for each of us here today, you would truly be the one who is on the throne of our hearts. And Father, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.